If you are a Christian, a child of God, you have been called by the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Folks, he called us out of the world and into the church. And he called us to be a very unique kind of people. And you and I have a special calling. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, Paul writes this, for ye have not been called unto uncleanness, now watch what he says, but unto holiness. God called us out of the world, out of that which was carnal and fleshly, and he called us to be a holy people. Our top priority, or at least one of our top priorities, is that we ought to seek every day to be as holy as we possibly can. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we are exhorted to be holy. Let's look at just a few passages of Scripture. Romans 6, verse 19, the end of that verse says, even so now, yield your members, servants of righteousness, unto holiness. Just a few chapters later in Romans 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul writes, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, now watch him, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Another couple of passages, Ephesians 1 verse 4. Paul says this, according as he has called us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he's talking about the heavens and the earth at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Over and over and over again, the Bible exhorts us to be a holy people. Thus tonight, what I want to talk about is this subject. What I need in my Christian life, more holiness. I want to talk about 3 points in this lesson. And the first point that we're going to study is this. What is holiness? When you look at the definition of holiness, there are really 3 parts that you need to constantly keep in mind. Number one, when something is holy, it is pure. When we talk about being pure, we're talking about free from contaminants, free from any type of pollution, free from any kind of immoral taint within. My blood type is A negative. I have never, ever had a blood transfusion. Kathleen has had about 3 units of blood. My son's had 2 or 3 units of blood. But I'll tell you this. If you're going to give this kid a blood transfusion, there is one thing that I want, and it's this. Pure blood. Don't you? I don't want any contaminants. I don't want any pollution. I don't want any disease. I don't want any mess. I want pure blood coursing through my veins if you're going to transfuse me. But notice secondly, what is holiness? Something is holy also when it is set apart. That term set apart means this. It is not carnal. It is not common. It is not ordinary. You see, this thing that is set apart is unique. It's different. It's special. It's not like all of the other things that are in existence. When I grew up, my mama had a set of china. And guess what? It was holy. It was. It was set apart, wasn't it? We had a cabinet where all the ordinary dishes were. At that time, we didn't have just tons of money. My mom and dad didn't. And all the plates and all the saucers and all the bowls, they were all different. Okay? But they were all in one place. And Mom lets you know, this is the day-to-day dishes. And then she'd point into the dining room. She said, you see that cabinet over there? Folks, that's a china cabinet. She says, that's where the china is. You don't touch it. You don't bother it. You don't use it. It is, guess what? Set apart. You see, it wasn't mixed with the everyday, the common, and the ordinary. You see, folks, when something is set apart, it is very, very special. It is very, very valuable. And that's what holiness involves. So number one, we are pure. Number two, we are set apart. And then there is the third element of holiness, and it is this. When something is holy, it is dedicated for a special purpose. Folks, this object that is holy has some very specific designs within it. My mother really had two sets of china stored in that china cabinet. And one of them was a set of china that she called Christmas china. Never have understood that stuff. Got a little wreaths and all that kind of stuff all in it. But guess what? There was only one day a year that we used Christmas china. That was Christmas Day, Christmas meal. It was set out there perfectly, and that is the only day that we used it. It was for a specific design, a specific purpose. And if you ever used Christmas china on any other day, you almost sinned. It was bad because it was designed for a specific purpose. Now, folks, the Christian life is supposed to involve all three of those things. When God called us, not only did He call us, but He also purified us with the blood of Christ, didn't He? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye are purified, your souls are purified with the precious blood of Christ, He says. You see, when God calls us, He knew that we were stained. He knew that we were vile. He knew that we were dirty. And what did He do? He takes the blood of Christ and He washes us all and He purifies us, because we've got to be pure if we're going to be holy. After He cleansed us, guess what He did? He set us apart, didn't He? You and I are no longer a part of the common, ordinary, average Joe out here in the world. We're not a part of that group of people that are referred to as sinners. We're set apart. We are God's people. We are the church. And the Bible talks about us as individuals who are sanctified, set apart. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, and such were some of you, talking about how they used to be in sin. And guys, if you go back and look at that list of 10 things that Paul writes about them, guess what? They were vile, were they not? They were evil individuals. And he says, such were some of you, past tense, but ye are washed. There they are, cleansed, purified. Ye are sanctified, set apart. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, listen to how he addresses them. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, called, he says, three words that he makes mention of. They are the church, they are sanctified, and they are called, watch this, to be saints. The church, the called out ones, the set apart ones, the holy ones of God, the sanctified, that means almost the exact same thing, set apart for a holy use unto God. Called to be what? Called to be saints. Called to be God's holy ones. Three times in one verse, he refers to them as those who have been set apart for God. And guess what? Guys, he didn't just set us apart and put us in a china cabinet never to be used. Oh no, he set us apart and he intends for us to be used for holy purposes, doesn't he? We've already made mention of Romans 6, verse 19. For there the Apostle Paul says what? He says that we are to use our members as servants of righteousness unto holiness. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, I'm set apart to glorify God. Paul says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that you and I are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Now listen to what he says. That ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Guys, you and I are to also offer up our praise to the Almighty God. That's one of our purposes, to be holy individuals, to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, in all of our daily activities, and to show forth praise unto the Almighty God. You and I have been set apart for a holy purpose unto God. We are to be holy. But in the second part of this lesson, I want us to move from our holiness, and I want us to consider for just a few minutes God's nature as being holy. When I make mention of the nature of God, what I mean by that is this, folks, the entirety of God's being is holy. You see, I can't say that about Victor Eskew. The totality of my nature right now is not holy. I do sin. I do yield to temptation. I do not always serve those holy purposes for which I have been designed by the Almighty God as His child. I am not perfectly, completely holy, but God is. It's His very nature. You see, He is holy, but not only is He holy, folks, He is the source of holiness. If there is anything in the world that is truly holy, guess how it got that way? It got that way because God made it that way. But notice too, all that is associated with God is holy. Everything associated with Him is holy. Now I want us to look very briefly at seven different ways that the holiness of God is described in Scripture. Notice first of all, He is simply called holy. God is holy. Look at Leviticus 9 verse 2. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. You see, God just says, I'm holy. We've been studying 1 Samuel, and we came across this verse not too long ago, 1 Samuel 2, verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord. What that verse really means is what? There is none holy but the Lord. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. You see, God is just described as being this holy being. Notice too that all three members of the Godhead are referred to as holy. Write down the references. John 17, 11, the Father is referred to as the Holy Father. We go to Acts 4, verses 27 and 30, and there Jesus is referred to as thine holy child, Jesus. And every time we make mention of the Spirit of God just about, we refer to Him either as the Holy Ghost, Matthew 1, verse 18, or we refer to Him as the Holy Spirit, Luke 11, verse 13. You see, they are holy and they are described as holy. Nobody walks around and describes me as, well, there's Holy Vic. Somebody said that, Kathleen would laugh. You know it? She just laughed. Holy Vic, what are you talking about? You see, when you attach that word holy to something, folks, what that means is absolute, complete, undefiled holiness. And that's what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. Point number three. When you go into Scripture, sometimes God is described as holy, holy, holy. Two times we read about that in God's Word. One of those is found in Isaiah 6, verse 3. Isaiah, in a vision, looks up and he sees God. He sees God in His holy temple. He's sitting upon His throne. His train is there before Him. And he sees the seraphim flying through the heavens. Those angelic beings are crying out and they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." But we turn to the Revelation, chapter 4, verse 8. And there John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he says. He too is seeing a vision as he looks into the heavens, and he too sees four creatures. And these creatures have wings, six of them. And they are full of eyes within, the Bible says. They have no rest day or night. They too are flying through the heavens. And here's what they are saying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Never, never is any man in Scripture ever called holy three times in a row. You see, the number three stands for absoluteness. Total, complete perfection. What he is saying is this: God is absolutely holy by using that term three times. Notice also, He is utterly holy. How do you like that word? There is not one muon, nutrio of evil within Him. Some might say, He's speaking in tongues up there. No, I'm not. Folks, that is the smallest unit of measurement known to man. And there is not one drop, not one smidgen of evil in God. He's holy, holy, holy. Also, we find that God's name is holy, don't we? In Ezekiel 39, verse 17, "So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel." Folks, His name is holy. I find it interesting that the Jews understood that. And they definitely manifested that when they were copying Scripture. In fact, every time they came to the word Lord, Yahweh, or Jehovah, they wouldn't even pen it. When they reached that name, they would then put their pen down and they would go and they would completely bathe themselves before they returned to write another word in Scripture. Why? Because God's name is holy. It's powerful, isn't it? The Bible also says that God's works are holy in Psalm 145, verse 17. "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, and all His works are holy." Whatever God does is pure and righteous and holy through and through. Even His judgments are holy. Here's what I find interesting. Wherever God is, that place becomes holy. Now get that. It's not because the place is holy. But wherever God is, that place becomes holy because of God's holy presence that is there. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30, that God dwells in the heavens, and the heavens are referred to as holy in Psalm 20 and verse 6. Why? Because that's where God dwells, folks. Remember when God came down upon the temple as the children of Israel were there at the foot of Mount Sinai? Exodus chapter 40. You see, God's presence was in that temporary dwelling place. There He was dwelling between the cherubims, and that place is referred to as God's holy temple. Psalm 5 verse 7. The ark was ultimately moved to the city of Jerusalem, and in the days of David, he prepared for a temple, did he not? And finally, that temple was erected in the city of Jerusalem. And because that ark was brought into that city, because a temple was built there, and because there was the most holy place there, Jerusalem is referred to in Matthew 4 verse 5 as the holy city. You see, because God was there. One of the most beautiful examples to me is in the call of Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. We're all aware of it, aren't we? Moses is out there taking care of sheep. He sees this bush burning. It's not consumed. He goes up to it and God tells him, "Take thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground." Folks, God's presence in that bush made the ground around it holy ground. You see, wherever God is, that is holy. The Bible also says very plainly, only God is holy. That statement is found in the Revelation 15 verse 4. Notice what he says. "Who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy." If you're taking notes and you have those seven things there before you, you need to read through them three or four times. God says He's holy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are described as what? Holy. He is referred to in Scripture as holy, holy, holy. His name is holy. His works are holy. Anywhere He dwells, anywhere His presence can be found, that place becomes holy. God alone is holy. I stand in need of more holiness. God's holiness should cause me deep, deep, deep concern, folks. And you might ask why. The answer is found in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Listen to what Peter says. "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." I am to be holy like God is. Wow. When we talk about holiness, guys, we're not talking about a few feeble actions that we're supposed to involve ourselves in, make ourselves feel good, and walk away saying, "Wow, aren't I holy?" It's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about comparing ourselves to someone else. Oh, that's easy, isn't it? I can look at this person, I can look at that person, I can look at another person, and guess what? All of a sudden, I'm looking at myself and I say, "Wow, oh, Victor is holy." Compared to who? It's not what he's talking about. Folks, here's what Peter is saying. In your holiness, I want you to reflect the holiness of God. It's pretty powerful. You see, when I use God as my standard of holiness, and if I'm truly honest with myself, when I look at my holiness, then our title of tonight's lesson runs clear, doesn't it? It rings clear. What do I need in my Christian life? More holiness. Because too often, I fall short of my standard. If you and I are really going to reflect the holiness of God, we've got to do three things. And what's interesting is we've already talked about them. Number one, I must keep myself pure. Purity is the starting point of holiness. That's why God takes us. And through obedience to the gospel of Christ, He washes us clean with the blood of Jesus so that we have a starting point for holiness. There is no sin after Jesus cleanses us of our transgressions. But you see, I have to also constantly separate myself from the ways of the world. And that's difficult to do living in this world that we're in, isn't it? In Bill's prayer tonight, he prayed about how this world is evil, how that it is degraded, how that it is filled with sin and filled with iniquity. And yet here we are right in the middle of that. And it doesn't take long. Just walk out the door and start looking around, and all of a sudden what you see is sinful, isn't it? And yet I'm to be separate from the mess of the world. Thirdly, I've got to make dead certain that I dedicate myself to the work of God. Like I said in a previous point, God didn't set us apart and put us in a little china cabinet and say, you just stay there separate from the world. Oh no. He said, I'm calling you out of the world. I'm calling you to be separate. But guess what? I'm giving you something to do in this world. You see, there are monks who run off, go up into the mountains, go up into the caves so they can separate themselves, don't talk to anyone, just study the Word of God all the time. Don't subject themselves to any kind of sin and transgression. And you see, oh yes, they're practicing a what? Part of holiness, aren't they? The separation. But folks, there's more to it than that. God wants me functioning in this world, but functioning for His holy purpose. It's part of the reason that we're here tonight and the world is out there doing whatever they want to do, aren't they? One verse. And I think it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's found in the Hebrew letter, chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men. Now watch this. And holiness. Now listen to that last part. Without which no man shall see God. Folks, if I don't practice being holy like God is holy, I'll never stand in the presence of a holy God. Do you need to be cleansed tonight? Maybe you know I'm in sin. I'm in iniquity. And I don't want to be there. I want to be separate. I want to be apart. I want to be used by God. You've got to get washed first. You've got to be washed in the blood, don't you? You do that through the waters of baptism because it's there that we touch the death of Jesus. Buried with Him by baptism into death, Paul said, Romans 6, 3 and 4. If you have faith, if you'll repent of those sins, die to them, confess the name of Jesus, we can immerse you tonight. You'll come up a cleansed individual. God will set you apart. You'll no longer be part of the world. He moves you into His kingdom. And every day of your life, you can be used for the holy purposes of God. Do you need to do that, dear Christian? As you look at your life, are you separate from the world? Are you really doing what God called you to do? Maybe you need to repent of some things and ask God to forgive you. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?